want to share with you, you know, the wonderful thing about when you're a preacher, teacher, the Holy Spirit works with you over the years to become sensitive to what the Spirit is saying to the church. And certainly where you are pastoring, where the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who leads us and guides us, it's very important that you hear what God is saying in the right season. Or that the Lord simply confirms what you sense the Holy Spirit's been saying. And what I have been aware just recently is that we have to watch as overcomers that we don't be hindered with this battle fatigue, where we just start to become off our guard. We don't take the devil's work and his attacks, what he does, as seriously as maybe we used to. Or we just feel that I'm tired. I just feel, you know, I can't take much more of this battling. I just want to be left alone and just, you know, work it out myself. Well, we go through, of course, all these different experiences and emotions, but sometimes we go through it as a body as well. And so that's really what I think God is addressing this morning. He's probably not so much addressing what you might be personally going through, but what I sense as a pastor we're going through as a body. And this morning I believe the Lord has revealed to us, holding on to what is ours in Christ. Holding on to what is ours in Christ. And if the devil can get you to look away to what is rightfully yours, that is your inheritance, he is succeeding. Remember, he is subtle, he's an adversary, and he knows the weaknesses. Or he will try and scratch away and try and create a weakness. And so if a body is attuned, walking in faith, obedience, doing that which we receive by him, obeying that which we receive by him, then God is going to show us and keep us one step ahead to what the adversary is trying to do. And that is what I believe the Lord is going to reveal this morning. He's going to reveal to us what the adversary, the enemy, is trying to attack and work with this assembly. And I believe this has been confirmed to me in a number of ways, and that's why I want to give this to you, as I believe God has presented it to us. Now, of course, we see from Scripture the nature of Satan. And I just want to remind you a few things again, because we can tend to just forget these things. This is not a teaching this morning to exonerate, to exalt the devil. Now, we may be exposing him and revealing his nature, but to do so in order that the Lord Jesus is glorified, because he is on the throne. He's on the throne in this assembly and in our lives. But we mustn't be ignorant to Satan's vices and how he works and his subtlety. And so, for example, in John 8, 44, the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 44, it says here, "You are of your father, the devil." This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, because they believe they are the seed of Abraham. And he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resource, for he is a liar and the father of it." And Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, "That is exactly also what you do." So how did Jesus know that he was of this nature? Well, of course, he was God in flesh. And of course, he encountered him in those 40 days in the wilderness. But also, he heard Satan speaking many, many times in his 3-year ministry. He heard Satan speaking out of people. He heard them speaking out of the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's addressing them, and he's saying, what you speak is Satan speaking through you. And many times the devil speaks through people. And we must learn to discern, to test the spirits. And if you don't test that, if you are not aware that that is Satan speaking, then you are held in some way by that deception. Now Jesus retorted back by saying, you are of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And I know that you are because I hear you speak exactly like him. In other words, he speaks through you, which he did. And so he can confidently say here, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want. So the very desires that are in Satan's heart are the desires that you want. Did you know that Satan has desires? Did you know that? What are those desires? Well, one of those desires is to take you with him into hell. That's certainly a desire. He has a desire to deceive you. He has a desire to afflict you. He has a desire to oppress you. And so it goes on. Those are the evil desires of his heart. And he says to these people, those are the desires that you want. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. In other words, no truth. He is a murderer and there is no truth. And the sad part about it was that the Jews were going to become murderers just like him. Let his blood be upon us. It's quite frightening, isn't it? So people who murder, first degree murder that is, murder because they have taken on Satan, him, who is also a murderer. People who lie, and sadly most do, taken on Satan, who is a liar. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. In other words, he speaks from his own desires. He speaks from his own corruptness. His resources. He draws from. And so unregenerate man will speak out of his own lusts, out of his own heart, out of his own desires and his wants. And we see the world deceived, held by it. So it doesn't take much searching. It doesn't take much looking around to see where Satan is. For we're indeed told that Satan is the God and Father of this world. Until Jesus finally comes to rule and reign upon the earth. So there we get some insight. Let's turn back to John chapter 2. John 2, verses 16 and 17. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the house of God had become corrupt. And Jesus revealed that you've made it a den of iniquities. You are doing the devil's work. You've made merchandise of God's holy house. And sadly, we see that sin being repeated week after week, Sunday after Sunday, up and down the land. In fact, it's universal merchandise of the house of God. Now, of course, the house of God now is the people, is you. And therefore, God is cleansing you and I so that we may worship God in spirit and in truth, that he may take his headship. So that is the cleansing work that he's doing. And in that cleansing work, he moves all corruption, all greed, all vices, and so forth. And yet we find that it is rife amongst Christendom, pressurizing Christians to give, to tithe, and so forth. All of these are bondages. The motive behind the giving very often is wrong. They make merchandise of God's house, corrupting it in a spiritual sense. Again, the devil's work. How do I know that that's the devil's work? Because the same type of spirit worked through Judas. And who entered Judas? Satan himself, to betray Messiah, Jesus. And that covetousness was there in him, working away. And Jesus knew this. So it doesn't take much discernment to find the devil active. What it does take is for Christians not to be drawn and influenced by it. That is what does take a lifetime. Why is it we are still prone to falling to the devil's trap, listening to that roaring lion? What is it about us that can still fall victim after years walking with God, that we can still become confused? And yet, when you look at it on one side, it takes very little discernment to see what Satan is doing and how active. And yet, on the other side, we can still fall victim to it. And that's why I wanted to bring this out this morning. Because this is how God has, I believe, revealed it to me. Now, firstly, from a legal sense, we know that Satan's work is broken from our lives. Jesus rose from the dead. He exposed the powers of darkness when he said, "It is finished." He has now triumphed. He has now taken his rightful place at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies, and all power, dominion is given unto him. And so now Jesus requires of us to wield, to use what is rightfully ours that he has given to us. We're now to use that against the powers of darkness through the body of Christ, through the gifts that are given, through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit ministering, directing, leading as he does. We are to rise up by faith under that anointing to take that stand and authority against the powers of darkness. But why is it the church still is so ineffective in doing that when all of this is done? What is our problems? You see, Satan comes to hinder you from doing the will of God. And that's why he buffets. That's why he hinders. He may not be able to take your salvation from you, but he will try and hinder you from doing the perfect will of God. And churches fall victim to this. We see the seven churches in Revelation, in Asia Minor. Six of them have fallen victim to that very thing, not fulfilling the will, the perfect will of God, because they have hindered, they have listened to the devil's subtlety, you see. So God is going to work with us, if we will let him, where will we be on our guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Like a built-in radar. Any signs of the enemy coming, approaching, and the alarm bells go off. But he has to make us sensitive, attuned to that. And the first requirement is that you want that. Do you want to be sensitive? Do you want to be on your guard? Do you want to see the powers of darkness put to flight? Now, you can all sit there and say, well, of course, Pastor. What a silly question to raise. But in reality, it's not always quite like that. In reality, that is the problem. And we find that sometimes the closest of us can be used by Satan to hinder us in which to do the perfect will of God. And of course, the classic example of that is Peter. When Peter tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Now, Peter raised a very natural human thing. But he was revealing and being used and became subject to the desires of Satan and not of God. His desire was, no, I don't want you to die. I want you to stay with us. I enjoy you. I want your fellowship. I don't want you to leave. Oh, we would say a very natural thing. But it wasn't the will of God. And Jesus immediately saw where the source of this lie. He tested the spirits, 1 John 4. And I'm afraid, individually, we're still not in that place, testing the spirits as we do. Now, Jesus never for one moment there fell victim to that, and he could have. In his humanity, he could have just said, well, you know, this is really comforting. This is a blessing to hear. This is somebody who's prepared, who doesn't want me to go to the cross, doesn't want me to die. You know, he's showing great love and affection, and I appreciate that. Jesus didn't reveal that. Jesus moved beyond Peter and spoke to the Spirit speaking through him. And you may say to yourself, well, you can't do a thing like that. After all, that's offensive. That is offensive to say to someone, get thee behind me, Satan. Can I suggest a few things to you? We see nowhere in Scripture where Peter comes back and says, well, that's not a very nice thing to say to me after what I've just said to you. How could you say a thing like that? We don't see anything of Peter coming back. In actual fact, when Jesus rebuked demons out of people, you don't find the actual person, the spirit of the person, speaking. You find the demon speaking. And that's a lot of our problem. We cannot still discern when a spirit speaks. And when a spirit speaks, which is the devil, you are not speaking to that person any longer at that point. You are speaking direct to the spirit, to the demon, to Satan. Because that spirit has at that point operated and taken over. And so when that is addressed or when that is cast out, very often you will find that the actual person, the spirit of the person, the soul of that person is actually not offended, as the enemy would try to let you suggest that they would be. Now those around might be, but the person you're addressing or casting that demon out is not. And we notice that Peter is almost, in a sense, not aware what has actually happened. And sometimes, you know, I've occasionally had to do this myself and found as I've addressed this demon that the person wasn't actually aware. It was like they were taken over at that point and something else spoke through them. So that is the first thing to get over. That to address a spirit that speaks, this person will not be at that point be offended, because you are going beyond them and directing and speaking directly to that spirit, that demon that is speaking out of that person. So there is a subtlety how the enemy works, does he not? Well, you surely could not say that, because that person will be very offended to think that, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus didn't fall for that at all. And if you allow it, the Holy Spirit will work with you where he will bring you to that place where you will not be affected, hindered, emotionally. Now, you may bear the consequences of persecution as a result of that spirit being addressed by others standing by, but praise God, that's the cost of being a Christian, is it not? Satan wants to hinder you from doing the will of God. Demons stop you from doing the perfect will of God. That is one of their fundamental workings. That is why they oppress, that is why Satan uses them, because he knows that 9 times out of 10, he will get most Christians not doing the perfect will of God. And you'll find that it is a buffeting, it is a hindrance, it is an oppression. This is what the Apostle Paul was up against. This is why he asked for prayer. This is what he asked for. He asked for God's mercy. Deliver me, take this from me. Because he was experiencing these buffetings all the time. What are these buffetings? They are demonic spirits trying to stop you doing the perfect will of God. And you have to speak to them. You've got to use that authority over them. Oh yeah, but you don't know what I feel like. What has that got to do with it? You speak by faith. You speak the word of God. Whether it's in prayer, whether it's that person, whether it's to the elements, whatever it is. You've got to use that authority that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Because it's not going to happen otherwise. Because if we don't do the perfect will of God, if we hinder the Holy Spirit, we start to become subject to sin, rebellion. And what does it say in 1 John 3:8? He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, for the purpose that the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You are manifested, you are saved, you are baptized into the house of God so that you may expose the works of the devil. Now God is ultimately bringing us into glorification that we may expose the works of the devil. And we're being restored, being trained, ready for that exposure. Because Christ did it, now the church must do it before Jesus returns. And so what is he doing? He's working faith. He's working the cross. He's getting you not to be moved by those feelings and by those emotions. Faith has got nothing to do with it. As I've just been showing you. And so Satan will come along and he'll try and twist the word. And sadly, many of our brothers and sisters today will sit in meetings where the word of God's being twisted. Because wrong spirits are speaking out, poisoning the pure word of God, twisting it. It's one of the ways he's going to work it. And sadly, using professing believers. Or he's going to use those circumstances. Oh, that fear. That fear that twists, that fear that has torment. It's the number one demonic power Satan uses in the world. Fear. So what does it say in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7? It says here, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Question that the Apostle Paul raises. Do you look to the things of the outward appearance? Or do you look to the word of God? Do you look inward? For that is how God works. And then of course Satan attacks the mind, doesn't he? And he tries to suggest all these things, and he tries to work on your mind. So God is doing a restoring, a healing on the mind of the overcomers, because we certainly cannot be used. And some of us still are in areas still gripped in the area of the mind, and you've done everything you know to do. You've done a warfare, you've fasted, you've prayed, but there still seems to be coming no change, no deliverance. Well, stay with it, friends. Keep under the word, keep coming, keep in prayer, keep looking to Jesus, because the Holy Spirit's doing a tremendous healing and delivering work on your mind, that he will get all the glory. Why is he doing that? For warfare for the last day, as well as you enjoying the Lord Jesus, enjoying his voice, his promises and everything as well, but it's also for warfare. He's doing that delivering work. He's doing it because he knows if you're going to be used for this army, he knows you have to have an experience of the mind of Christ, because he knows that's Satan's number one weapon, attacking the mind. Satan's only got to say, boom, and they run. Glad you didn't run. And of course, the other one, which the church has fallen into sin over and over again, and Israel as well, that compromise. And compromise leads to idolatry. Compromising with the world, sinning with the world, living with the world, acting in the world, just going along. And that's why most Christians can't be discerned today. You can't tell whether they are or they're not, the way they live, go about their lives and so on. So that's why God separates us. He draws us away from the world to be separated unto holiness, consecrated. Why? So that he can train you, start to make you effective. And they're going to make you effective in this case, as we're talking about, for warfare. So we've got to hold on to what is ours in Christ, because he's going to try and erode that. He's going to try, because he's accused of the brethren, he tries to twist the word of God, he's going to try and get you to compromise it, because in your heart you're really saying it doesn't really work. But I haven't got enough guts to actually say that to the Lord. But do know, I'll compromise. It doesn't really work, all of this. That's how he tries to work. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? No overcomers will hold on to what has been promised them. And that's the key to this. We're not going to take no. We're not going to compromise. If everyone runs away and says it doesn't work, an overcomer is going to stay in there and say, God has promised, God is faithful, he has to strike me down, he's got to kill me if this doesn't work. And God won't do that. He won't do that. I think this assembly has been learning over the years of seeing many who once embraced, but really were only mouthing it, who no longer are with us. We have seen this. We've seen many going back. We've certainly had experiences of that, and in the natural it can look very negative. It can look a failure. But I've shown you over and over again illustrations in the Bible of what looks a failure. Jesus' ministry looked a failure. He was left with 9, and even they forsook and left, looked a failure. Calvary looked a failure. His death on the cross looked a failure. At times, Paul, Peter, John's ministry looked a failure. They all forsook and left. But that is God's plan. That is how God sorts out. But it's in those failures you learn to discern. It's in those failures where you understand God's ways. Because Satan doesn't want you to experience outwardly what looks like a failure. Because that is the plan of God. And that exposes the powers of darkness. You see? So Satan is very subtle. That's why I'm always saying to you, you need to stay in. You endure. Stay with it. and God will reveal. He'll teach you. We are really being taught by the Holy Spirit now. We're really beginning to experience the Spirit's power and working, taking over in weakness where we're made strong. I don't know about you, but this last 6 months, 8 months, I have really begun to see this happening in this church, where the Spirit is beginning now to take over and work this in us and through us. Why? Because the church is going to face the biggest battle onslaught she has ever faced before. And most are not ready for this. The powers of darkness are rising up. The world, this country, is getting darker and blacker. And yet so many of our brothers and sisters are asleep to it. You don't hear any more about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't hear any more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, standing on the promises of God, divine healing, God providing all your needs according to his riches in glory. Many have compromised on all of this. Yeah, they're the very principles that are causing us to stand and not to rely upon the arm of the flesh. Most Christians go to the arm of the flesh on the slightest thing. They're not in faith, standing, believing. Yet that's the very thing that's going to cause us to stand for the last days. What are believers going to do when the mark of the beast is coming, brought in? Oh, well, suddenly we shall be able to believe God then and everything. No, you won't. You've got to start believing now. You've got to start preparing now. We hear it coming up. It doesn't go a month before you hear it coming up on the news now. ID. Cards given to everyone. They want a computer bank where everyone's ID is put onto it. Comes up all the time. The only thing at the moment's hindering it is because they can't manage it at the moment. And it costs a lot of money. But all of this ID, everything about you, wanting to know about you, is all the information that's going to go to be put into that chip for the mark of the beast. All your medical will go into it. All your ID, your finances, your status, banking, all information, where you shop. They even have cameras now that watch what you look at in big stores, and they can work out the sort of things you like, and they use it through your credit card. It just goes on and on and on. It's nothing but witchcraft. Control. And it's all there, being ready. And yet, I don't hear the Christian church speaking out on it. I don't hear the warnings, the preparing, preparation so that the Christian church can stand against it and be preserved and not go totally under. I don't hear it. Do you? I don't. Asleep. The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And so it goes on. Because they don't want to discern the powers of darkness. They don't want to wage that effective warfare. Yet Christ has done it for us. He's given us his name, the blood of the Lamb. He's given us his word. And says if you use that in faith, Satan will flee. I will raise a standard against the powers of darkness. But I don't find many want to do this. Oh, let's sleep. Just give me a rest. You know what we're going through? We're going through exactly what was going through at the Garden of Gethsemane that night when Jesus was betrayed. The church now we're seeing is exactly what's taking place, took place there. When Jesus said, awake, keep awake, watch and pray with me. But they couldn't, and they wouldn't. No, let's just drop off to sleep. Just give me a break, give me a rest. That's what's happening spiritually. But thank God the Holy Spirit will not let us sleep. Why did Jesus want them to watch and pray with him? Because he was trying to show them, you are dealing with the powers of darkness tonight. Did they see it? No. That's why it has to be revealed. That's why God has to show you. And that is why he uses people like me to show what Satan's trying to do in your life, in your family, with your children, with your job, whatever it would be. You have got to start addressing the powers of darkness like you have not done before. If you want Satan off your back, if you want to see breakthroughs, if you want to see breakthroughs in this church, it must not be left to just one or two that do it. You have the Holy Spirit. He will give you the words. He will show you how to deal with Satan. He will show you what weapons are needed. We know what the weapons are. Ephesians 6 tells us, shows us. The Holy Spirit's come to guide you, to teach you, to make you effective, a soldier that will win the battle every time. God isn't about to put you into a battle if you're not going to win it. God can never accept defeat. God is contrary to defeat. So if you believe a battle is ahead, well, one thing you can rejoice and start praising God about is, well, thank the Lord, this battle's already won. How it's going to be implemented is another thing, but as far as I know, my faith says this battle is won in Jesus' name. That is a man or woman of faith. No overcomers will hold to what has been given to them in the promised land. And we have learnt much about what is in the promised land. Christ did it for us. He's given us the promises that are in him, in Christ. So, how do we hold on to what is ours? As I bring this to its conclusion. How do we hold on to what is ours? Well, a prayer life. I'm always on to you about a prayer life. You hold on to what is yours because you ask God. James says you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. I'm on about how you hold on to what is yours in Christ. Keep reading what is promised. Let it be your confession. Let it be your meditation. Open up these scriptures. This is what's promised. I'm just opening the word up today, Father, because I want to just remind myself of all the promises that you promised to me. Did you know something? This is your inheritance. You share this. These promises are your inheritance. This word is not only your food, it's your inheritance. You share this with the Lord Jesus Christ. And remind Satan of that when you feel he's having a go. Do not neglect warfare. It is essential. And if you find yourself, you need help, you need teaching, or you don't understand fully, ask the Lord. Father, I've heard this word today. I fall short of this. I'm not as effective as I should be in warfare. But I can't do this in myself. You have sent the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, teach me. Help me. Keep me on my guard. Keep me as a watchman. Whatever this takes, do it. Because I want to mean business with you. Because God certainly means business with you. Let's make no bones about it. And the one that Satan will do more than anything, and we know this so well, if he takes your eyes off the cross, you've taken them off everything else. You're no good in warfare. If you've taken your eyes off the cross, you've taken your eyes off the victory. Because the cross is the victory. The cross in your life is the victory. Every time. And you take your eyes off that, your own worst enemy. The wise man, his own worst enemy? Because he's doing Satan's bidding. That's why. And that was the scribes and Pharisees' own problem. They were their own worst enemy. Because they were believing Satan, who sadly had become their father, and the father of lies. They were believing those lies. And that's why they couldn't receive the truth. They couldn't see the truth. They had God in flesh standing amongst them, but they couldn't see who he was because they were blinded by the enemy. And sadly, the enemy has tried to blind some of you against warfare. Well, it's up to you whether you let him continue that blindness or not. Or you allow this word to do that cleansing, that delivering, that eyes being opened. Because you're going to see a big difference. You're going to start to see those breakthroughs that are essential. They really are. And you're also going to find demonic powers will start manifesting in your presence. So I'm warning you, you're going to start hearing voices. You'll think, hang on, this voice isn't this person speaking. Why do those voices speak? Why do they manifest? Because of the anointing. Because of the presence of Jesus. So what do you do with those voices? Just sort of shut them up and say, I don't want to hear you. I want to hear my friend. No. They manifest. God allows them to manifest. Because God's in control. Satan doesn't want those voices to speak. Satan doesn't want demons to manifest. Of course he doesn't. So when they manifest, who has manifested them in your presence? Well, it's certainly not the devil. It's the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So he said, I've manifested that for you to do something. Not to run away. I once heard a sister say years ago, she said, well, when the devil confronts me, she said, I plead the blood and run. I thought, there's not much hope in that, is there? I thought, anybody can do that. No. Demons manifest because God has allowed them to manifest, because he's saying to you, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now address it and deal with it. Divide Satan's kingdom, because that is what we do. Every time a demon is addressed, cast out, rebuked, you are dividing the powers of darkness, Satan's kingdom. And that's what he feared in Jesus, because Jesus knew that. Now the church has got to finally finish that job off, to weaken it to such a point that he becomes powerless. And the only other alternative now is for the church to be raptured and captured, called away. And then those greater works start to come in. So that is what we're facing now. That is what Full Gospel Assembly is facing now for this year, if the Lord tarries. He's now going to expect from you to start to address and rebuke and cast out those demons. And friends, I'm going to warn you now, it may come out of those you least expect. But who are you going to obey? Who are you going to fall subject to? Emotions or the will of God? The will of God. And don't listen to what the devil says. Oh, yeah, but you're all the consequence. You start doing this, and I know the devil's even suggesting it to your mind right now. I know, because he's trying it with me. He's saying to me, what are you saying to these people? What are you doing? I know. I can hear him trying to speak right now. Well, it just causes me to wax bolder, because I know this is the word of God to us. And I know Satan hates this. And I know he's hated me preaching this, because in the natural, since we've moved into 08, this has been one of the worst years for me for many years. And part of my flesh will say to me, well, I'll be glad when we get out of 08 and get into 09 if the Lord tarries. Because it hasn't been much good this last couple of months. But no, I know why. I know what he's up to. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to get me to back down. But we hold on to what is ours in Christ. Do I feel like it? No. but I hold on to what is mine and what is ours in Christ. That's all he's asked me to do. And what is that holding on? Believing it, confessing it, thanking him, and God will do the rest. That's holding on. God isn't requiring some physical strength from me, you know. It's like you're in a tugging war between Satan and you. No, it's confession. It's belief. It's believing what God says in the midst of it being completely contrary. That is holding on in Christ. Father, again, thank you this morning. Lord, we've learned a bit more today. With all of us being a bit negligent in this area, we've all of us just wanted to put our feet up and fold our arms and pretend, give me a break. But Lord, that is not what a soldier is trained for. It's not what we have been trained for. We're watchmen. We're alert. We don't give up. And Father, whatever this takes, you will work this through us. Lord, I thank you for the deliverance that's taking place in our minds. There are breakthroughs. Things that once just held us, oppressed us. It's like it's being syringed out. It's changing. It's being able to look to Jesus more now and those promises, as those doubts are being dissolved. And even with the enemy that tries to roar like a lion, Father, we're becoming more and more alert, discerning to his voice, his ways, his subtleties. But Lord, above all, you're showing us the authority that we have in the mighty name of Jesus to cast out those demons, to divide Satan's hold. And so we praise you for this. But all of this is done in love. All of that, this is done by the power of the Spirit, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, please help us not to be taken in by emotions, particularly when it's our loved ones or it's our children. And yet, Lord, we can be so aware how the powers of darkness can work through them. But Lord, you are not causing us to fall anymore, to be taken in by these emotions, by these big baby blue eyes. For Lord, if there is a demon present, it must be dealt with through the mighty name of Jesus.